Well, throughout the month of December, we've been taking a look at a number of different personalities that are connected with Christmas. And just give you a little bit of a summary. Some of those, we know that Zechariah heard a message from an angel concerning the fact that his wife, who was barren and of advanced age, was going to have a baby. And Zechariah demanded proof from the angel, and the angel basically said, well, because you don't believe, you're going to be struck dumb. Your tongue is not going to work until the baby is born. Mary heard from the angel Gabriel. She believed that she was going to be the one who was going to carry the Messiah, but she didn't know how that was going to happen because it seemed quite impossible, because virgins just don't get pregnant. And so she inquired of God, of the angel, as to how God's plan was going to happen. And then when that was revealed by faith, she submitted to that plan. Joseph is another character that we've taken a look at. He made a very bad decision. He was a righteous man, but he made a bad decision. And even though he made a bad decision, in a dream, an angel of the Lord came to him and said, okay, your plan is not going to work. So let me give you my will. And then Joseph followed that will. He submitted and followed. Even the Magi from the East, though we don't know a lot about them, we know that they were astronomers. They were pagans. They were Gentiles. And yet, after they came to Jerusalem and ultimately got to Bethlehem, God spoke to them in a dream, and they listened. And they obeyed. They did not return to Jerusalem to consult with Herod a second time, which brings us to Herod. We know him also as Herod the Great. He is one of the major personalities in the story of Jesus' birth, but Herod didn't hear any kind of a message from God, at least not at this particular time. He may have heard from God in the past, but apparently He disregarded those messages. But in this case, there's no angel, there's no dream, there's no direct contact with God. And it is interesting to me to know that of all of the main characters, Herod is the one that we know the most about historically. Even though he didn't hear a message from God, he didn't know what God's will was, yet we know a lot about King Herod. If you had a chance to watch the recent Kevin Costner thing that was on ABC, the Christmas story, the first Christmas, whatever the title was, they talked a great deal about King Herod, and they didn't paint him in a very pretty picture. And he really wasn't. We do know from history that he was born in 73 before the Common Era, BCE. He was an Idumean, which means that he wasn't a full-blooded Jew. He came from what was previously called Edom in the Old Testament. That means that he's a descendant of Esau, not of Isaac, which means he was an Arab. His father's name was Antipater, who was also Idumean. His mother, her name was Cypros. She was a Nabatean princess, so there was no real Jewish blood in him. But when the Jews conquered Edom, the Edomians then were forced to convert to Judaism, and so Herod grew up knowing all of the traditions and being faithful as a Jew, even though he didn't have that blood within him. Unfortunately for Herod, not having Jewish blood meant that he could not be the king of the Jews, but that didn't seem to matter to the Romans, because the Romans were the ones that were in charge. Now, Herod's father had ingratiated himself to a guy that you probably know of. His name was Julius Caesar. You've probably heard of him. And as payment for the favors that Antipater did to Julius Caesar, Julius gave his family, Herod's family, the right to rule Judea. And then when Antipater died, this is when Herod became the king of Judea and Jerusalem. At the age of 26, the Roman Empire needed someone to bring the region of Galilee into submission, and they sent Herod, who used whatever force was necessary, And that even meant killing Jews. Herod was also a friend of another guy you've probably heard of, Mark Antony, who was also of Rome, and he was a friend with Mark Antony's girlfriend, Cleopatra. Yeah, it gets really confusing. Herod had some skill in military maneuvers. Eventually, he was named general of the area of Syria, and in 40 BCE, the Parthians conquered Jerusalem, so Herod went to Egypt to try to get military people from there. They sent him to Rome in the wintertime, where he bravely crossed the Mediterranean Sea in the winter, which just was not done. And this caused them to go, well, maybe this guy really means what he says. And so they gave him support. The Roman Senate gave him support. So he went back to Jerusalem with an army that he had created, with Caesar Augustus's backing, because by this time, Mark Antony and Octavius, who ultimately would become Caesar Augustus, had a falling out, and we know that Octavia killed Mark Antony. So there's all kinds of things going on. So here we have Herod trying to be in good with Mark Antony and Julius Caesar, but then later Octavius takes over, and so really, this guy knows who to kiss up to. I mean, he really does. He doesn't seem to have any loyalties to anybody. He tries to curry favor with Caesar Augustus by building a town and reconstructing areas in a town, a port city called Caesarea. That's where that name comes from, Caesar, Caesarea, if you will. So Caesarea was an area where Herod used some of his might and building capabilities, and he built a deep sea port, because he wanted Caesarea to be like Rome. He wanted Caesar Augustus to be in favor with him. He also used a tremendous amount of tax money from the Jews in Jerusalem and in Judea to build a temple in honor of Augustus. But then in order to curry favor with the Jews, he decided to build the temple in Jerusalem twice as large as it had ever been built before. And so here's a man who is trying to kiss up to everybody. And everybody's really unhappy. Yeah, he did a lot of great things, especially when it came to the temple. If you ever hear people talk about Solomon's temple, he took Solomon's temple and increased its glory twice. However, he also made demands of the Pharisees in respect to the temple's construction that they didn't like. He was hated by the Sadducees, who were kind of in charge of the worship and the priestly line, because he disregarded some of their high priests and brought in priests from Babylonia and Alexandria, people who were not full-blooded Jews. He even put an eagle over the temple, which told the Jews that he was more concerned with the welfare of Rome than he was with the welfare of the Jews. Herod had 10 wives. Yeah, I don't know why. He had about 20 children. His first wife was named Doris, and his son Antipater Jr. They didn't curry favor with him, so he cast them out when the boy was about 6 years old, mostly because he had fallen in love with another woman called Mariamne, who was connected to or a descendant of the people who were in charge of Jerusalem before Herod. So he was trying to get in good with the old guard, okay? Yeah, it's a confusing kind of a life. He wanted the pure-blooded Jews to love him. But then a little bit later, when she was when he suspected her of infidelity, he had her killed. Years go by. Herod does some amazing building kinds of projects. But Herod lived a lot of his life with tremendous pain. The historian Josephus tells us that Herod had what was then not a known disease, but Josephus calls it Herod's evil, because I guess it was extremely painful. And here we have Herod, who is drawing close to the end of his life, trying to find a successor. Which ones of his 20 children is he going to give the kingdom to? Well, he doesn't like the boys of his beloved Mariamne, because they see, he hears that they are plotting against him. So what do you do in that situation? Well, you have them executed. And so he brought back his first wife, Doris, and her son, his son, Antipater. And it seemed like he was going to be the successor, even though they had been banished and deposed almost 30 years earlier. So when Caesar Augustus ordered that the entire world should be counted, as we find in the Bible, Herod was all in favor of it. Not only would Rome know how many people were there, but Herod saw an opportunity to stay in favor with Rome and provide them with more tax money. And so he was all in on this plan. When the decree went out, he was really, really in favor of it, because this just, in his mind, cemented his claim at being king of the Jews. So when Magi from the east showed up, as it says in Matthew, wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." This had to have thrown Herod into confusion, because he had spent his whole life trying to hang on to his power. He had spent his whole life being paranoid that somebody was going to try to take over. He had spent his whole life even killing his own family because he was afraid that they were going to execute or assassinate him. And so when these magi from the east came expecting to find the king of the Jews, they came with one goal, and that was to worship him. And how did Herod respond? Well, it says when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Well, who wouldn't be? I mean, you know Herod's reputation. He's crazy. He's paranoid. And you never know what he's going to do. So what did Herod do with the information? Well, he lied, he manipulated, he deceived, and he acted out of his paranoia. You see, by this time, Herod is an old man. He was very sick, but even in his pain and harboring this horrendous disease, whatever it was, Herod was determined to hold on to his glory and hold on to his own power. He felt obligated to himself to maintain his position and his stuff. And because of that, many people were hurt. You see, many people suffered because of Herod's persecutorial behavior. You would think that out of all of the characters that we have in the Christmas story, that there would be no Christmas carols sung for King Herod. But you would be wrong, because there is one, and I'm going to play it, and we need to turn this up. It's called the Coventry Carol.
Oh, sisters,
It's an incredible carol. It was written 500 years ago. 500 years ago, all about the death of the innocents. And by death of the innocents, I mean when King Herod decided that the wise men had tricked him, he needed to take matters into his own hands. And so he ordered the execution of every child that was age 2 and under. Why? Because he didn't want to have in the Bethlehem area a king that would usurp him. That is how paranoid and persecutorial Herod was. He didn't even care for his own people. You see, what we have here with the birth of Jesus is the collision of two kings. We have King Herod, the one who was a vassal king, if you will, of Rome. Rome was the one that named him to be king of that area. He was not a true a Jew in the sense of the word. He was Arab, but he grew up as a Jew. And so because he had curried favor with the world, if you will, in Rome, they gave him power and they gave him prestige. And they told him that he could do whatever he wanted just so long as he kept people in line for Rome. Herod's rule isolated people from him. He got rid of his wife and he got rid of his oldest son. He killed two of his other kids. He was nasty to his own family. But he was king. And when he asked the people's priests, where is this king supposed to be born? In fear, they told him, in Bethlehem in Judea, because that's what the text says. That's what the prophets proclaim. I can't imagine that they were gracious and filled with joy, because they probably didn't even really truly believe that Herod was going to worship this new baby when the wise men came back and told him. I think they knew exactly what they were doing. They were sentencing that baby to death. And yet, in fear of the one who was in power, or who they thought was in power, they told him whatever that he said he wanted to hear. You see, Herod's rule isolated people from him, but Jesus draws all people to himself. Herod wanted what was best for himself, but Jesus wants what's best for those who believe in him. Herod's worship was fake. It was fraud. It was built on deception. Bring me news where this child is so that I too may go and worship him. It was all a fraud. There was no intentionality in it. His heart, as Joe said, was stone. He had no intention of worshiping the King of the Jews. Jesus, though, invites you to come to him as you are, rich, poor, outcast, Gentile, Jew, believer, or pagan. He wants you to give him the glory that he deserves. Not because some other entity gave it to him, but because he is glory. He deserves our best. Not because he demands it of us, but because he is the best, and we should worship that. It is because of his great love for us that we should want to worship, not because of our fear. You see, Herod sought to destroy others that he thought was going to usurp his rule. Jesus went to the cross willingly to seek and to save all who were lost. So the question for the people at that day is still the same question that we face today. Which king are you going to follow? Which king will lead you to eternal life? And if there is only one choice, then why won't we stop listening to the world and to all of the power-hungry people of the world and all of those people who have maybe an intellectual understanding of Jesus Christ, but they have never had their heart changed? Why do we keep listening to the world if there is only one choice? Do you think Herod had the same choice? Absolutely he did. But he chose poorly. He chose himself. And that's what our world is really based on. You need to choose what's right for you. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible it never preaches that doctrine. That's what the world teaches. You take care of yourself. You need to do what's good for you. You be you. You do you. That's not what the Bible teaches. Now, that may bring you some sense of mental health in this world, but that's not going to provide any kind of eternal life. Listen to the truth and be saved, or not. Do you think that Herod had given his life over to Satan? I do. And when Satan has control of your life, guess what wages you receive? It's probably the same wages that Herod received. He was only concerned about himself and maintaining his glory, not sharing the glory of the real king of the Jews, actually the king of the whole world. And so that's really the lesson from Herod for all of us. We can either become paranoid persecutors, or we can take a look and receive Jesus as all of the other personalities did. And it doesn't really matter to me that Herod, out of all of the personalities, we don't know a lot about Zechariah or Elizabeth. We don't know a lot about Mary or Joseph or the Magi from history. We know a ton about Herod, but it doesn't mean anything. You can have your name etched in all of the, you could be known as whoever you are, Mike the Great. But that's not going to get you to heaven. That's not going to be what is going to give God the glory and the honor that his name so richly deserves, because he is the real king. The choice is always yours. Which choice are you going to make? Are you going to live your life for Christ, or are you going to live your life for yourself? Two kings. Which one are you going to follow?